Recording. All right. Welcome to Acidic Features, Episode 7, here with Lords of the Opium Church Rock Band. I saw that you guys had the album. It came out this year, correct?
Yes.
Yes. All right. Yeah. How did that go? Was it bigger than you guys expected it would be? Or did you guys do, extremely well of how you thought?
Well, I think it did a lot better than we expected. I mean, me and Jordan didn't really have a lot of expectations when we started finally tracking the record, because we had been working on the material for quite some time, but other bands and life got in the way many, many times. So when COVID first came around, we kind of really got some free time to hit the studio and just spend some time really putting everything together. But as far as expectations, I don't think, we wanted to make a record and tour the record as to wherever we could, kind of thing. But yeah, there's been a lot of interest that we weren't expecting, I guess.
That's good. Yeah, that's good. Totally. That's good to hear. That did great. But okay, so segment one is I like to call it the quick draw interview. So what was the inspiration or story behind choosing the name of your band? Was it derived from the Lords of the New Church, or is it just right from the top of your guys' head?
Well, I fucking love Lords of the New Church, so I thought that was really cool. But yeah, Jordan, you take this one.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it was mostly came from, well, Rob and my fiance Vicky. She came up with it too.
Yeah, Vicky came up with the name. I just thought it was great.
Yeah. Nice. You put the Lord's part in, I think.
But, I added the Lord. Yeah, because I love Lords of the New Church. I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of different meanings in it. You know, I think if you break it down, I mean, for one thing, like, we're all fans of like old school horror movies and stuff, right? You know, it kind of has got that kind of vibe to it. In a deeper sense, it's, we got a real problem with certain organized religions,
organized religion in general. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Man, just in general, you don't need that shit to be a good person. That's what we think anyways.
Oh no, 100%. Yeah. That's how I feel. You shouldn't need one thing to hold you down to be a good person, because you should just be able to do it automatically no matter what.
Yeah, exactly, man. You know, and religion is the opium of the masses, you know, so
right.
It's kind of where that comes from, you know?
Yeah, everyone falls for it, even though there's no truth to it.
Yeah, someone needs something to believe in, I guess.
Yeah, that is true.
Should be yourself, maybe. Maybe the message should be believing yourself. I don't know.
Yeah, that could be. That definitely could be. So when was the moment you guys realized that, you know, the band was what you all really wanted to pursue? You know, this is the what you guys wanted to take on.
Well, I think we all played in bands, you know, we're all musicians. We've all had different projects and stuff going on. But
right.
I don't know. Everything just kind of worked out and aligned, and Rob and I knew each other from other projects and stuff, and it just worked out, man. This was the lineup. So
yeah. Okay. Yeah. Nice. So you guys were in other bands beforehand. So you guys had been in like other ones.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. I was just making sure.
Band and are in other bands. Yeah.
Other bands. Okay. Well, I'm my friends, they met these people, and they were like talking to them, and they said they had experienced everything, and they're like talking to them, they said that they'd never been out of their band. I was like, well, what's your experience? They said, oh, well, I like to play at my friend's house all the time, you know, we're like really, really great. I'm like, okay, I mean, that's experience. I thought you meant shows. And he was like, oh no, what? No, we haven't recorded a single thing. We don't even have a singer. We just play music. And then he was like, what? I thought you guys were a band.
we've all played in other bands and done lots of other stuff too, for sure. Yeah.
That's great. So this is actually a question I'm actually very interested in to hear the answer. If you could record an original or non-original track with any band or musician, who would you want that to be?
Oh, you take that one first.
I'll take Jordan's guitar away and give it to Tony Iommi, probably.
Totally. Beautiful.
Just get him to sign it before he gives it back, please.
Definitely.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, is it living or non-living, or what's the rules? Like,
oh no, there are no rules. You could be any musician, any band, any track. If you wanted to, you know, do a remastered version, an original piece, you could choose anything. It'd be, you know, what you really want.
I'd write an original song and get Lemmy to sing it.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. I'd like to do a track with Jimi Hendrix, but like I'll just do like backup vocals or something, because I just want to get a guitar lesson from him. That's pretty much
that'd be great.
That's pretty much all I want to do.
How about you, Eddie? What about you?
Probably pick a jam with Black Sabbath. There's a lineup.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you brought up John Lennon. Actually, Tommy Chong said that he said he was going to be bigger than Jimi Hendrix, and everyone looked around him. It's like, oh, you're crazy, man, you're crazy. And one day, Jimi Hendrix walks into this bar, and he looks at Tommy Chong. He's like, hey, I want to play with you. And, you know, Jimi Hendrix, he wasn't super big at the time, and he used to get to play with him. But he'd only play bass because they never had a left-handed guitar for him. So he'd only play bass, ever. He wouldn't play guitar with them. And Tommy said that was the craziest thing for Jimmy to walk in and want to play with him. And I just thought that was absolutely insane for somebody to just walk in and do that. And it's like, it's crazy. I love Jimi Hendrix. I couldn't think of one of the most influential person for people of even I know who still rock out to Jimi Hendrix and all the classic bands. So I absolutely love it.
I heard a story that that Leslie West from Mountain, he was hanging out with Jimi Hendrix or something, and they were gonna go jam, and Jimmy apparently was like, nah, man, I'll just play bass. And apparently, I don't know the whole truth, if there is any truth to this story.
Jordan wasn't there.
Yeah. And apparently Leslie West just played guitar. I think there's a picture up somewhere online of like Jimmy playing bass and Leslie West playing guitar or something. And
that's crazy.
I don't know. Really?
Yeah.
That is crazy. I got to see that. Yeah. Some legends of the music, right? Just like how apparently Ozzy has no recollection of snorting a line of ants with Motley Crue, but that's so to be told.
You can't remember every line of ants that you snort, though.
That is true. So what was the inspiration for the music you guys created? You know, you guys go back to the classic rock and everything, and, you know, I was watching one of the music videos, and it had a very Sabbath kind of feel, Black Sabbath with an Ozzy kind of feel to it. So, yeah, I was wondering what you guys, you know, really looked up to be able to bring your music to what it is now.
I'd say it's a lot of Ozzy and Sabbath stuff, too. I think there's some Motorhead vibes in there, too, for sure. But I think we all kind of bring something different. I mean, I like a lot of, like, punk music, even, like, Ramones and stuff like that. Weird things, I think, that all kind of come together. Those guys definitely have a lot of cool tastes and influences to bring right to the table.
Great, great. I was reading some stuff online, and one of the comments was that it was like a modern Black Sabbath and Metallica, and I thought that fit pretty well, because it's definitely, you know, it's got that nice heavy guitar riff and everything. It's just, it just fit perfectly, to be honest. I really like the description.
Whoever said that, thank you very much. That's
yeah,
that's a flattering comment.
Yeah. There's truthfully not enough rock bands who like new rock bands who are coming out and like, you know, do the classic. It's kind of straying off to the new genres of rock and everything. But as time goes on, you know, old comes back, just like how the 80s style and the 90s is, you know, kind of coming back and everything. And I feel like that's happening with the rock. And there's Greta Van Fleet, who sounds a lot like Led Zeppelin, and they say they got, you know, most of the inspiration from Aerosmith. And like a lot of people didn't know them, but one of their songs, Highway Tune, blew up out of nowhere for a little bit. And I think a lot of people kind of, you know, really started to get back into classic rock throughout the past like decade or so. And I really like to see that, because I think classic rock is some of the best music.
Rock and roll never dies, man.
Oh no, it can't. It can't. It has to keep rolling on. That's the whole point. Whole point of it. But that was the other quick quick draw interview. We're gonna move on to riff talk. I figured we could start off with your favorite bands and everything. You know, you guys said you guys really like Sabbath, you know, Motorhead and everything, but individually, what would you say is, you know, your top three favorite bands?
Mine changes so often, you know, like I mean, obviously, like the classics to me would be obviously like Sabbath, Led Zeppelin, Rush,
okay,
Motorhead, you know. But right now I'm really into like Acid Mammoth. Elephant Tree is another band that's like mind-blowing.
Really? I've never heard of Elephant Tree.
Yeah, check them out, man. They're from England, and I believe they're from England. And yeah, Weed Pecker out of Poland. There's so many good like underground bands that, in my opinion, should be up there with the classics. You know?
Okay. How about you, Eddie? What would you say is your top three bands at the moment?
Sabbath.
Definitely always got to be up there. Always. Awesome, awesome. Your mic was a little scratchy there. I think I picked it up, though. I believe so. It could be my headset. I'm not going to lie. I'm a budgeted person. So, but as we were saying, you know, you guys all love all the classic rock and everything. My apparently it's so to be told, my father used to party with oh my God. I cannot believe Pantera. He used to party with Pantera, and apparently you can see him in the back of the Dimebag Darrell videos. Now I've never seen this, but I thought that was some of the craziest shit. But I was wondering if you guys have ever been able to go out and party with, you know, any of the big rock bands, or even got to meet any of the people that you looked up to or got any autographed things from them.
I got some cool stuff.
That's good.
I met Geddy Lee from Rush. He was at a book signing. I waited in line for a long time.
That'd be sick.
Yeah, it was cool. You know, really quick conversation, but it was awesome. It was cool to meet him, you know. I did get some signed pics. I saw Sabbath front row. The last time I saw him was at the End tour when they rolled through Edmonton. Mm-hmm. And I was front row, and Geezer Butler, although he doesn't play with a pick, he had a bunch of picks. He tossed them out, and I caught three of them. So
wow.
That was really cool. I got those framed, you know.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's pretty sick.
But like, as far as like partying with I guess, you know, musicians you look up to or whatever, like where I'm from in Newfoundland, we didn't really have many big bands rolling through town. Okay. Very often, right? You know, if there was a Canadian tour, it was usually kind of like the mainland. So Newfoundland, for people who don't know, is just a little island on the east coast of Canada. So not many big bands would go through there. So our local scene was like super tight, because as kids growing up, we didn't have, you know, Metallica rolling through town or Sabbath or any of these really big bands. So our local bands were Metallica, like,
okay,
to us, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there was like Cyprian and Flatline and like all these bands that we were all peers, but we were just all so stoked to be a part of that community and go support each other in shows and party and whatever. So that was it for me, really.
Okay. Yeah. I like I said, I didn't really get to go to much concerts. I was planning on going to I believe Motley Crue and the Steve Miller Band were gonna go to Texas, but that ended because of the pandemic. And I'm not the biggest Steve Miller Band fan. I mean, they're definitely not bad at all, but I just thought it'd be so cool to go to their concert, because I mean, how many people around my age get to say, you know, they went and saw Motley Crue live and everything? I just thought that would have been so sick, but it got canceled, and I was just like, oh my gosh, that's some of the biggest bullshit I've ever heard. I don't give a fuck about this pandemic. I want to rock. So that kind of sucked. But one of the Def Leppard, they have the one-armed drummer. And when I was growing up, I heard about that, and I thought that was some of the craziest shit. I was like, I gotta see him, I wanna see him. And obviously, I was never able to, but I just thought it was so crazy that there was, you know, one-armed drummer, and, you know, Tommy Lee doing his upside-down rotating drum solo. I always wish I could have seen that. It was just some of the coolest shit I've always got to hear about, but, you know, it's not happening anymore. So it really sucks. Like, I remember I had to write an essay one time back in school, like a few years ago. And it was like, if you could learn anything, what would it be? And I said, to build a time machine so I can go back in time and see Led Zeppelin live. And I got an A. She's like, I love it.
Nice.
It would be the best thing, honestly. Honestly, okay, that's kind of an interesting question. If you guys could go back in time to see any tour or any band live, who would you want to see in their prime?
Ramones,
that's great. Yep. That's a good one.
I'd probably have to say Ramones too, or Led Zeppelin, of course.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
How about you, Eddie?
Bon Scott, AC/DC too. I'm just going to throw
that would be a good one too. Yeah.
Yeah, Bon Scott era AC/DC. Nothing against Brian Johnson. Axl yep. Rose sucked when he did it, but like, you know, yeah, that would be for me for sure.
That'd be great. Cool to see Kais. What was that?
It would have been cool to see Kais back in the day.
Clash.
Oh, Kais in the day. Kais.
Kais. Okay, yeah. Kais. That'd be pretty great. That'd be great. Honestly, I mean, I remember hearing Led Zeppelin saying that when they would do shows and they'd take acid or whatever, you know, looking back, they realized, you know, holy shit, I could have fucked up my entire song or whatever. But they would say they would be able to watch, like when they were drumming, they'd be able to watch the cymbals and everything melt and drip to the beat. And I just like, they said they could feel the music when they're doing it. I'm like, that's some of the craziest shit I've ever heard. And like, it wasn't, you know, just playing music when you're sober. You felt connected to your music. And, you know, I think about how many other rock bands and musicians had done this, so they felt more connected to their music rather than, you know, people who aren't musicians might, you know, how they're like, oh, is music actually an art? And other people are so connected to music that they'd like die for it. You know, I know people who say, I don't know what I'd do without music. I can't not listen to music throughout my day. I just think it's kind of crazy how someone, you know, just decided to start making instruments and it grew into this huge thing that the entire world is into. And I think it's fucking crazy. I think it's so sick. Honestly,
it's a big part of human evolution, in my opinion. I mean, music wasn't just something for enjoyment. It was a tool, you know, it was a motivation, you know, back in the day, so to speak, you know, like they would, you know, use it for wars, you know, they would use it for, you know, creation, building settlements and, you know, and rowing boats and
yeah,
you know, all sorts of shit, you know, so.
Yeah. Summoning demons.
Yeah, that's true. Seriously, this is some of the craziest shit ever. I mean, honestly, here's some music that'll freak you out. But so I heard that one of the songs was about the Salem witch trials. So I was wondering what was the what came to your mind and to be able to write all these songs. You know, what was the premise of the album when you guys were thinking about it and coming up with it?
That one's yours, Rob.
Oh, what, hard one?
What, were you talking about how that song came about, or are we talking about the concept? Like, sorry, I'm so sorry.
Oh, yeah, no, the concept of just the album, you know, because, I mean, I heard about the Salem Witch Trials and everything. I was just wondering, you know, does each song, you know, have, you know, some odd hidden meaning behind it, like how Ozzy's would and everything, and, you know, there's just that extra story.
I think there's a bit of a mix of both, and I think that we try to do that, try to put something for everybody. I think some of them are really cool and specific, you know, stories like that one that kind of caught our interest and led us into doing some research about it, writing a cool song about it. And some of them are just, you know, party songs as well, you know, like Electric Temple and stuff. It's a bit more just like, you know, grab a drink and party down kind of a song. But yeah, no, I don't think that there was a really a common theme to the album. I think there was a little bit of everything on there for sure. And I really think that that's cool. And we did that on purpose. That's it.
Yeah, no, definitely. It frees it up. You know, it doesn't, because, you know, everyone to listen to a song and they'll be like an English teacher's like, what's the hidden meaning? Ah, it's like sometimes there isn't one. Just jam the fuck out, dude. Shut up. Sit down.
Yeah. But, oh, and even the party ones, I think, you know, Jordan wrote a lot of the lyrics. So. I think that's more of a question for him.
Okay.
Well, we don't like to get too specific. I mean, some songs, you know, like Trial and Terror about the Salem witch trials, and, you know, some of them do have a really specific message, I guess, or a story to tell. But some other ones, you know, it's just, it comes from somewhere, but we like to leave it a little bit vague so the listener can kind of make up their own mind, and then maybe they can relate in a certain way. You know, maybe they're going through some stuff,
right?
They listen to the song and then the lyrics take on a whole new meaning to them, right? So
oh yeah, no, I definitely get that. That's usually when I used to do relative like old school kind of rap music and everything when I was a bit younger, and when I was writing songs and everything, I'd have someone read it, and, you know, they have their own thoughts on it and everything, you know, why they connected to it. And like, I didn't really realize that anything I would write that someone could really just connect to, and I thought that was pretty crazy. I always wanted to get into music, but I can't sing for shit, and my friends can't really sing for shit, which kind of sucks. So we never got to like do a band, but I used to work at like a drum shop when I was really little. And when I was like 11 years old, I went in there and I had my own business cards and everything. I was like, hey, I'm looking for a job, like 10, 20 bucks a day just to go to the skate park on the weekends and shit. I'm like, oh, dude, that's sick. Yeah, sure. Blah, blah, blah. You know, you got it, dude. And they'd give me like 10 bucks a day. If I'd stay later, they'd give me more and everything. And one day we get a phone call and apparently it was Mike Myers. And I was like, hello, is this? And he's like, it's Mike, you know, where's blah, 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 Jeremy, who is the owner. And I gave it to him and he said that was the real Mike Myers. And I don't know if he was ever fucking with me, but I'm pretty sure I ended up talking to Mike Myers at some point when I was working at a drum shop and I didn't even really know who it was. And I look back on it, I was like, that's some of the craziest shit I've ever heard. I didn't know this dude, he was even into drums.
Oh, man, he was in Wayne's World, man. He was Wayne's.
So. He was. That's true.
That's true. I think he knows how to rock.
You know? Yeah. Well, I mean, I was pretty young, so I was like, "What the fuck?" But yeah, that's some of the craziest shit. And they always had like the Led Zeppelin posters around and everything, and it was really weird because, you know, no one my age was listening to rock music at the moment. You know, everyone was listening to Dram and Lil Yachty and everything. I was like, I don't get this, man. I don't really like fuck with this with the new trends and everything. You know, I grew up like a 90s kids and I'm looking around everywhere and it's like everyone's connected to all the technology and everything. It's just like, oh my god, what's been happening lately, especially in the past year. The world has just gone crazy. But I'm honestly, what do you guys think would be the one thing that rock and roll, like the message of rock and roll, is going to stick? You know, back in the 80s, everyone was partying and shit, you know, everyone was going crazy and it's kind of gotten to its own thing. There's all these subgenres, but what do you think is really going to stick with the rock and roll throughout the years?
I think the same thing that it's always been is the message to do whatever the fuck you want to do.
Okay.
I think that's been the message and I think that'll always be the message. I think that's what why we do it. I mean, it sure as fuck isn't for money.
Right. It's because you want to do it.
Songs, right?
But, yeah.
Yeah, I think that is the message for sure.
Yeah, no, definitely.
I guess it's like anything else open to interpretation.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, that's honestly just the best way to live life is do it the way you want. You don't give a fuck about anything else, really. Just be a good person. Yeah, do what you gotta do.
You want to care about it.
Yeah. So, oops, there we go. Have any of you ever done your own solo work? You guys said you guys were in bands, you know, previous of this one. Have any of you guys ever done solo work or recorded anything just by your own?
I haven't, not really. I mean, other than like when I was younger, just kind of messing around on my own little laptop, trying to figure out little recording programs, make a little acoustic song here and there, but nothing that was ever released or anything that was ever relatively serious. But played in a few different bands, you know, but
right.
As far as solo projects go, no, man, I haven't.
You haven't. Okay, how about anyone else? No, not really.
I work in a recording studio and have worked there for the last 5 years, so I've recorded a shit ton of songs, and even if it was my own, but definitely just mostly just been in other bands. Never recorded a solo project, just been in lots of bands.
Okay. How about you? Have you ever been, you know, recorded in other bands or ever, you know, just decide like, I believe Mick Mars is coming out with his solo album. Have you ever done anything of that sort?
No, I haven't. This must have been all bands kind of thing.
Okay. Would you guys ever be open to, you know, I believe Ozzy let Randy Rhoads one day, he let him record a solo song for his mom. You know, would you guys ever have your own, you know, like little solos and anything, or ever try and branch out into other bands like the lead singer of Tool? You know, he does the two other bands. Have you guys ever thought about doing any other kind of work or work with other bands before?
I don't want to.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mean, you know, just like break off, you know, I don't mean to be the Yoko. It's like, oh, you know, oh, yeah, I'm going to go do my solo work now. But but yeah, no, honestly,
I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough to do anything by myself. I need these guys. So,
okay. Yeah. Yeah. You know, you got the trio, you know, it works well. You got to stick with it. I mean, truthfully, I love the music. I heard it. I was like, holy shit. And at first I thought, you know, it was from a bit back in the day and I was checking you guys out. I was like, oh my God, it's brand new. And I was like, I was freaking shit. I showed all my friends. I was like, dude, we got to get them on the podcast. We got to get them on. And they're like, dude, then do it. And I tried to hook it up and I was just so stoked I could get, you know, one of my favorite bands now onto the podcast. It was so sick. you know, I started a company, didn't think it would actually be able to take flight, and it did. And, you know, there's people who are just doing all the craziest shit. So I'm just, I love being able to get almost anybody on my podcast, as long as, you know, they're working for something as well, because I would love to be able to make them be able to get out there with it.
You're killing it, man.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, glad you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah, are you guys doing the shows and stuff? I had a musician, Point Blank Society, on here. He was soon starting up shows after the pandemic. He wasn't wanting to do, like, the virtual shows. Have you guys ever had chances to do shows or anything of that sort?
No, we are really looking forward to it, too. It's starting to open up here where we're at, so it's definitely looking like it's going to be a thing. So we are ready and excited to get back on the horse and get playing again.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah,
it's been a long time. I haven't gone this long without playing a show for as long as I can remember. Yeah, it's been a while. I think it's going to be really fun. I think some people are probably going to be weary and nervous about it, because it has been so long. But I think for the most part, I think people are really excited to let loose. I think people are really excited to get out and have fun and interact again. I know that I am. I'm really, really looking forward to this. And yeah, hopefully we will be everywhere soon.
Yeah, no, that'd be so sick to have you guys out there. That'd be great. I wish and hopefully you guys are able to come to the States sometime so I could check a show out. That'd be fucking awesome.
Oh, it's definitely in the plans. It's definitely in the plan.
Yeah.
Do it, man.
Whereabouts are you?
Huh?
Whereabouts are you?
I'm in Minneapolis right now. I'm in Minnesota.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Sweet.
And yeah, not too far from Canada.
Nice. Yeah.
I am I believe we were originally planning, my family a year or two ago, I believe, we're planning on going to Canada, but I ended up moving away, so we weren't able to. But I don't know, I'd always wanted to go to Canada. You know, I remember in that 70s show, Leo, one day he was like just showing up in Canada, and it was just the weirdest shit. And they said, oh, Canada's got some of the best beer, and then Canada, you know, they legalized weed, and I'm like, what the fuck, Canada's amazing, I'm gonna just move to Canada.
Yeah, we look good on paper, I guess, eh?
Yeah, no, definitely. And I mean, honestly, some of my favorite shows are Canadian television, like Trailer Park Boys. Fucking love it. Trailer Park Boys is perfect to me. I absolutely love it. And Letterkenny, it's so over the top, and everyone says it, but one of the actors from Trailer Park Boys was on there, and he's an Amish man, and his name is Noah Dick, and his wife's name is Anita Dick, and it's just some of the funniest shit. And they call their two twins the Dicks, so they're running around, they're looking at their twins like, hey, have you seen our dicks? You know, we're looking for our kids, where are our dicks at? And it's just some of the funniest shit I've ever seen. I just absolutely love it.
You should check out Fubar, man, if you haven't. That's another Canadian classic, I guess.
Fubar, really? Yeah, no, I've never heard of that.
Type it in, man. Yeah. Type it in. Check it out. Fubar 1 and 2. They got some older movies. And then I think more recently they put out another series. I think it was like an online series or whatever, but pretty funny shit too. So.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. It says there was a 2002 Fubar movie, and there's a couple other things in the collection of the films and everything. I'm definitely gonna have to check that out. I love watching movies, new stuff. I mean, making movies is what I love to do. You know, like when I think of a scene, have you guys ever seen like Inception? You know, they do the mind building and everything. And that's pretty much how it feels when I think of like a movie scene, because, you know, that's what I want to do. I love making movies, and I'll think about it, and like my brain will run through everything of how it should look, how it should feel and everything. And it's just like centers in the middle. It's like, boom, there it is. That's how I write scripts and everything. It's like the weirdest thing. It's like my brain, you know, unlocking a safe or something. It's got the code. And it's just really weird. And my friend said that when he's writing music, he'll sit there and he'll just think and think and think and think and think out of like random shit. And all of a sudden, like a couple hours later, he'll have written down his shit and he'll have a full song. He's like, I don't really know how I do it, man. My mind just flows. It spits what it wants, and it's a song. I'm like, that's some of the craziest shit, man.
It's creative brain. That's right.
Yeah, so you said you guys took a long time on your guys' material. Would you guys say, you know, most people's first album and everything is usually some of the best because it's comprised of the longest, and, you know, they're a bit rushed to make their second and everything?
Well, we actually started working on our second quite some time ago, too. So I think at this point, we've probably put more work into the one coming up next than the first one. But I honestly really am just feeling like the you know, just more time spent playing with Jordan and too, like that's a weird one. I think it can grow and be good. I mean, some bands it doesn't work and some bands it does work, but I've even played in bands where you could just feel it getting stale and you could want the next album's not better than the one before, and that's when it sucks and kind of start feeling like either step up your game or throw in the towel. But I man, every fucking time Jordan comes with another riff, he blows my mind. So I'd say if you like the first one, you're really gonna like the next one.
That's great. I'm glad to hear that. That's really good. I like that you guys are putting in all the effort. I don't like it when people, you know, like even with movies, the first one be really great, and the second one, you know, they think that they can just float off of what other people liked already. But it's like you gotta put in the work. I'm really, really excited to hear that you guys started working on a second album. I'm super stoked for that. Then that's pretty sick.
Yeah, man. I think, you know, we all feed off of each other too, right? It's you know, I'll come up with some ideas. Eddie comes up with ideas. Rob comes up with ideas. And I think the key and one of the things for us is that, like, we're not really overthinking it, you know? Like, I feel like some bands, maybe it's different for others, but if you start really overthinking it and, you know, you're just kind of digging yourself in a hole and you're trying too hard. I mean, if it flows, it flows. If you're trying something a little bit too hard and it's not really working, well, maybe you can keep going with it and push through it and something great will happen. But for me personally, I just kind of let it go and just try something else, man. If it flows, you know, it flows, right?
Come back to it.
Yeah, no, I remember when I used to I can't sing, but I can write songs better than I could write a rap. And it's really weird because like I can kind of rap, but I can't sing for shit. I mean, I can't sing for shit. If someone was holding a gun to my head and they said sing, I couldn't hit a single key at all. It's not fucking possible. But when I'd come up with a line, a verse or something, I'd throw it into my notes and I'll go back and there's just so many where it's just one line of something I'd want to come off of, but I can't. And I mean, I have over 200 fully written songs in my phone, just completely made perfect with beats and everything. And it's just, I never really did it, but I always thought if I were ever in a band, I'd have to be the drummer because I love the drums. Drums are just so fun. I tried to do the guitar. Okay, I swear to God, my fingers, I felt like they were dyslexic. They didn't know what they were doing at all. I could not play the guitar. It was like the only thing I can play is the very beginning of Nothing Else Matters by Metallica. That's the only thing I can play.
Well, don't sell yourself short, man. Everybody can learn, you know, and with determination and practice, you know. Sounds cheesy and cliche, but
oh, it's definitely true.
I think anybody can sing and anybody can play, you know.
I've been playing drums since I was 7 years old and I still practice every day and I still have a long ways to go.
Oh yeah. I got a drum kit and my dad, you know, he's like, okay, you got a drum kit, you know, you gotta, you know, actually be able to play it. But he wouldn't let me play it because it was inside. So he just had a drum kit just sitting there the entire time. I worked my ass off for working for forever at the drum shop and I couldn't even touch it. And it's just, I don't even think I have the full drum kit anymore from moving years ago, which really sucks. But I've always wanted to get back into drumming, and I've been telling my friends lately, it's like, dude, just watch. On my next paycheck, I'm gonna get a drum kit, and then I blow all my money off. I'm like, okay, I'm saving up for a drum kit, guys. Just wait. And I've just been waiting to when I can, because I want to get back into it. Because I just love the drums, and I used to play the piano when I was really little, like. Not maybe good, in elementary school. And I don't know, it was almost kind of easy to me. I can always just go to a piano, I can just do it, and I won't, like, I can't read notes anymore, but if a piano is in front of me, I can just make a song really quick and it'll sound really nice. And I don't get the piano, I don't know how to read notes or anything anymore, but I can just play the piano however I'd like, and people think it's crazy. I'm like, I don't know, dude, it works.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
when you can hear what sounds right and what doesn't sound wrong. I'm the same way on the piano. I fucking play all the time. I love it. Can't read music for it, but you kind of get, you know, the couple of simple things you learn and just kind of go with it. Piano is such a fun instrument. I love it.
Yeah. I've personally never tried bass, but I have a lot of friends who play bass, and they're like, oh dude, bass, best instrument, can't fucking beat it. Anyone who says you can't, fucking lying. And other people are like, dude, bass is so fun, dude. I think all of them are great though. But every time I meet a bass player, they're completely different. No one has the same bass player ever. It's not possible to me. All my friends are different, and I find it funny. But everyone, you know, with the bands, they say like, the lead singer and the drummer and the bass player and all that, and the guitarist have like certain roles. And I wonder how true that actually is, you know, for all the bands. And I just find it funny to see all the old rock bands, the new ones, and how they've actually, their personalities, what they go for, what they stand for, has actually changed and everything. So I was wondering, do you guys think you guys are, you know, relatively a stereotypical kind of musician? Because I don't think you guys are stereotypical at all. I would like to say that for one. I think you guys are honestly some of like, it's some of the most badass music I've ever fucking heard. And I, like, you know, they're always like, the singer is like, it's like in the dirt when they got him, and he was like this super small, super skinny blonde boy, and I thought it was the funniest shit to see him on a movie. And it was like, oh my god, that's some of the most legit shit I've ever seen. That's straight up, that's Motley Crue right there. But like with Sabbath, I want to see a movie, but I don't know how accurate it would be. So I was wondering, you know, how do you guys think you guys fit into the whole rock thing? Do you guys think you guys are more in the middle or more of the outer circle?
I mean, we're all buddies, right? Like, I think that's like one of the most important things, is that we're really good friends, you know? And I mean, everybody kind of has their role. I mean, I'm not going to sit down and try to play drums or anything, cause I can't, you know, but like,
right.
But everybody contributes to writing the songs, you know, and it just works, man.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, everyone's got to chip in a little bit. I mean, if one person wasn't doing something, it probably wouldn't, you know, mix in as well. I mean, I listen to you guys' music. It's very, I like that, you know, some of them are very bass heavy and I'm listening to it, and it's nice and heavy. It's got good guitar riffs. The beat, it follows it nice. And like, John Bonham, he's one of my favorite drummers, because you can hear some of Zeppelin's songs, how he'll actually play opposite of some of the music sometimes. I was watching a video about it, and he'll throw in triples for some of his drum sets. So it, I don't remember the fucking word, because it's the terminology, but he'd throw in the triples for his rudiments, and it would add it, so it'd speed it up. I was watching all the videos on it, and it was just some of the craziest shit to hear about how John Bonham really made his music, and how he's honestly probably one of the best drummers who's ever lived.
He was incredible, absolutely incredible, super innovative of all the people, and such a hard-hitting drummer. There's not many guys like him, for sure.
Oh, no, definitely not. No, John Bonham was amazing. I mean, even Tommy Lee. I mean, Tommy Lee, he was, I feel like he was pretty good, and I remember when I saw the video of the floating drum circle, the drum solo, and I thought that was the craziest shit, that someone really went upside down and was playing the drums. I was like, dude, that's fucking nuts. That's the craziest shit I've ever seen. Have you guys, would you guys ever pull off, you know, some of the crazy stunts? Like Ozzy, he used to have midgets hanging from ropes from his concerts and stuff, and he'd have like the craziest shit going on. Do you guys think you guys would ever play the theatrical part, or do you guys think you'd just be playing the music, you know, not so much of everyone, you know, putting on a show and like dressing up all crazy?
I think it's a bit of both. I think you gotta kind of part A and part B, I guess, for sure. It's a little bit, it's the whole package together. I think I really am into the visual aspect and in the arts. I mean, it's all art. We're all a bunch of fucking art nerds, right?
Oh no, yeah, definitely. I mean, Ozzy, if Ozzy didn't have his the music videos that he did, and like his concerts, as you know, the dark image he was, you know, that felt like, it probably wouldn't have even seemed the same. But I mean, I remember watching the videos, you know, you'd buy on the DVD and everything, and it'd have all the shit. And my dad was playing it once, and it was like one of the creepiest things I'd ever fucking watched in my lifetime. It was Ozzy, and it was Mr. Crowley. Scariest thing I'd ever seen when I was young. It was like, holy fuck, what is that? He was like, that's Ozzy. I was like, why? Like, why are you watching this? Why do you like this? And I thought it was the scariest shit. And I went back when I was older, and I watched it. I was like, what the fuck? Why was I scared? This is fucking amazing. I mean, I grew up.
Well, it's like, it's kind of like why people watch horror movies, you know? It's like, holy shit, yeah. I'm terrified, but this is awesome, you know? I think at the end of the day, you know, theatrics and the combination of, you know, some theatrics and music and everything combined, as long as at the end of the day, everybody's walking away from the show saying, hey, man, we had a really good time. You know? That's just.
Definitely. Yeah. Even when I make my podcast, I like to have, you know, the guests, have a good time and everything. And even if the fans, like with Tommy Chong, he was my first guest. I didn't give a shit what people thought as long as Tommy Chong had a good time. That was my number one priority. So I didn't fuck up Tommy Chong sitting in front of me on video. I wanted him to have a good time. Just like with you guys, like, you know, my fans can think as they'd like. And I love everyone who watches us. That's the one thing that about, you know, Acidic Features and my company, Acidic Film Productions, is that it came from the absent part of my mind. You know, it was everything I never thought I would be able to do. It's, you know, people who want to be in the NFL, people tell me you'll never get there. You know, look at how many people tried, you know, look how many people tried to be actors, this and that. It's like who are you to say that, you know? And I just think it's some of the craziest shit. But I love seeing people work for something that they never thought they'd be able to achieve. And then before they know it, sitting in the palm of their hand and they have it. And I love watching that. Like all the guests I have, they can be big or small. As long as I'm able to help them, I will do it in an instant, no matter what. Like with Cullen King, I'm so excited to hear his new music. I'm very excited to hear your guys's. Tommy Chong, all his shit coming out, I'm so excited. I love being able to expand everybody's music, their videography, everything. I love for it to be shared because there's no reason it shouldn't be. This is why it's being created. You don't have to like it, just appreciate the fact that someone is actually doing something they love. And that's what I think is great about music and filmography and everything.
Fuck yeah, dude. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, you guys, you know, say you're all friends and everything. I think that's the best part about a band, is it shouldn't be people who don't like each other. They don't want to work with each other. That's the best part, is it's a band. You guys are doing what you love with people you love. That should be with any job. People don't have to work for something that they don't like. You know, that's, people get so consumed around their, you know, 5-to-9 job, whatever, you know, and or 9-to-5, my bad. And it's like that you shouldn't focus everything on just your work unless what you're working on is your actual life. If I was working at a gas station, I wouldn't want to think my life comes from when I work at that gas station. I'd want it to be, you know, around the outer circle of my life. And I think people are just a little bit too sucked into all the little things in life. And now, you know, people are like, look at all this and that. And it's like, people don't really realize what's happening anymore, mainly from technology. And I think people should really, you know, just sit down, listen to a track, throw on some Grateful Dead, maybe some Rush, you know, just sit down and let your mind think rather than letting everyone else's mind think for you.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Like that, dude.
I think it's great. And okay, so the next one, it's one of the it's the last segment. It's called Battle of the Bands. So if there was Battle of the Bands, right, what bands would you think that you guys would want to play against? You know, if there was like a lineup, who would you want the lineup to be that you guys would be able to play against? You know, it could be any era, anything in their prime, Black Sabbath, Pearl Jam, all of them. Who would you guys, you know, want to be able to play with?
Play with? Oh, that would be cool. Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna say fucking obviously Motorhead would have been pretty sweet.
Yeah.
That's my take.
I mean some of the bands that I'm in now, like, I don't know about Battle of the Bands, but if I'm there and I get to watch them, that'd be pretty sweet.
That's
like Truck Fighters, Ape Machine, there's a lot of really good bands like that. I mean, of course, the classics, you know, Rush,
right.
Sabbath, Zeppelin.
Oh, yeah. That'd be sick. How about you, Eddie? Who would you really want to play with if you could?
I just thought of it. You know, I just mentioned them, probably like Elder or Faith No More.
Okay.
So many.
Yeah. Yeah. So you guys, you know, you guys are setting up for your shows and everything. So who would you want to open for you if you could choose? Who would you want to be your opening shows if you could have them? You know what I mean? If you guys are the main show, who would you like to open for you guys?
Definitely somebody local, for sure.
Not someone too big.
I wanna get, like, if we ever, you know, once we get on tour and stuff, if we ever have that opportunity to pick some opening acts, definitely one from a local city. Support your local scenes, man. Get out there, support your local bands.
Meeting people is what it's all about.
Yeah
man,
definitely. And so if you guys were able to, you know, if you guys had the chance to open for a band, you know, let's say it's your first time ever doing a concert or anything of this sort, who would you really want it to be, who you could be a part of their concert, you know, whether if even if it's when you were younger, you know, a lot younger, or even now, who would you think that you would want to be on stage playing before, so you could, you know, even enjoy the concert right after? Who would that be for you guys?
Rival Sons right now, only because I saw them open up for Sabbath. So if we could open up for them, hey, that'd be a cool little.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that'd be great. I personally, I'd honestly want to be able to open for Greta Van Fleet. I'm not going to lie. I absolutely love Greta Van Fleet. I think, you know, they've got that good classic feel to it and everything. I believe Robert Plant actually said stuff I heard that they tried to say he was like, oh, I don't like Greta Van Fleet, you know, they're a ripoff of Zeppelin. That is not true. I read something where Robert Plant said he absolutely loved their music, but it's kind of crazy. They said, well, actually, most of our inspiration came from Aerosmith and everything, and it wasn't even mainly Zeppelin, but they sounded so much like Zeppelin. I showed it to my friend. He was like, hey, man, I haven't heard this Zeppelin song. And I looked at him like, excuse me? He was like, I haven't heard this. I'm like, it's Greta Van Fleet, motherfucker. But yeah,
people were saying that stuff about like Wolf Mother when they kind of started blowing up a bit, you know. And I mean, everybody's ripping off everybody else in a way. It's just, you just take inspiration, you know. And,
oh yeah, I mean, inspiration and, you know, ripping off, I feel like there's a definite gray line, you know. You got to be careful of it.
like Rob, one of the best quotes that Rob, I think that it always resonated with me, that Rob said was, you know, we're not out to reinvent the wheel. We just want to keep it spinning, man. You know?
Yeah. I mean, there's there's something that keeps linking it together. Might as well keep it. Don't fix it if it's not broken. But, you know, you always got to innovate it just a little bit. Give them a little bit of a new product, you know? But
it's your own personal spin. And that goes back to everyone, you know, with all the movies and all the shit you were talking about earlier and people's different touches or whatever. You know, I think if there's not new bands coming, you know, it's important, and it's really always cool to see everyone's, you know, different personal take on it. Bands are, you know, even bands that are so the same to me are still so different, you know. Yeah. You got to really appreciate the art of it all, and I'm grateful that a lot, so many bands, you know, as Jordan said, you know, that are keeping the wheel spinning. Like, I don't fucking want a new wheel. I just want to keep this one going.
Oh yeah, no, I definitely feel that for sure. There was a man, I think it was, they're called Blizzard of Oz. They're a tribute band. Was there something like that? And I thought that was pretty crazy that they were doing that. I believe they had a concert somewhere near me at some point, I think, because someone had brought it up to me. But like all the tribute bands, I thought it was kind of crazy. And even Grateful Dead, they are starting to get new members because I don't remember who passed. And I kind of feel shitty for it because I definitely should. But they're going to be accepting new members because he believed in reincarnation. They're hoping that at some point, you know, a Grateful Dead member is going to come back into the band. And I thought that was some of the craziest, most Grateful Dead acid full thing I've ever heard. But I thought it was honestly some of the craziest shit to hear that they really wanted to do that.
Don't do drugs, kid.
Yeah, seriously. There's already been the fair share done, but
that's what happens when you do those year long acid trips, man.
Yeah, seriously, you start to go crazy. But yeah, I mean, I remember I was watching a class. It was a show, Freaks and Geeks or Geeks and Freaks, you know, vice versa, either or, and they had a Grateful Dead track in there, and I had never heard of them, and so I instantly searched up Grateful Dead. And when I was you know, a good little child back in the day, I was like, I wasn't a huge fan. And you know, when I found out, you know, I was all stoned and everything, I was listening to all this new music, it sounded so much different. I like completely started to understand most like 60s rock music and everything, and I was like, it makes so much sense now. You guys have no idea. Like, it makes so much sense. And like all my friends were like, Eli, what are you talking about? I was like, drop this tab and listen to this song. and it would just be great. I remember just always listening to the music and everything. It was just amazing. I wish I could honestly live in a different time so I could go back and just see all of them live, because it was such a different time back then. It was just, I can't believe that 2020 and 2021 has been what it is. When I was 10, 11 years old, I never would have thought within 10 years this is what would have happened at all. Never. But yeah. Yeah, I thought it was
pretty good. It's like some of those old songs, man. I mean, even though they were written back in the day, like the message can still, apply. Carry on. You know? I mean, you look at War Pigs by Sabbath. I mean, that's one of the most truest songs, you know, of all time, and it still applies today, you know?
Yeah, you know, I feel it. You know, definitely. I mean, Sabbath was my dad's, like, one of his favorite bands ever. I mean, you could see his shirt. He was born in 69, and you can see him in a shirt in on Christmas, the Sabbath shirt, a knife in his mouth and everything. I was like, yep, that's the normal Sabbath listener, that's for sure. He's ready to kill someone or just, you know, go and play with a fucking knife. That sounds about right. But, yeah, that was the last one. Honestly, I would just I'd like to say, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. I honestly hope you guys had a good time and everything. It was just a little bit shorter than I expected, but you know, that's okay. It was about an hour. Usually, I mean, I'll see Joe Rogan podcasts and they're extremely fucking long. I'm like, God damn. But honestly, extremely excited to hear you guys' new stuff. I'm so thankful you guys joined me and everything. I hope you guys have a good rest of your day. And is there anything you guys would like to promote? Anything that's about to happen right now? You know, you guys said you guys are coming out with your next album. Anything that you guys would like to shout out before you guys leave?
Yeah. Well, like I said, the second album, we're working on it. We're working with some really cool people. You know, we got some cool announcements coming up that we can't speak of quite yet.
But right.
Follow us on all social media and stay up to date on that. But until then, check out the first album. Check out the music videos. And
yeah, no, definitely.
Drop us a line, man. Shoot us a message. You know, we like to hear from everybody. You know, we read everything. You know, all the messages and everything. Just reach out, man. We're more than happy to have a chat and hear your opinion on everything.
I hope you guys have a good rest of your day. And thank you, everyone. This was Acidic Features, Episode 7 with the Lords of the Opium Church. Come back for Episode 8 in about 2 weeks, and we'll have some new stuff for you.